For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Madonna Hines, Mia Hansen Aloha, Christy Dougherty, Just Sayin', Kelly Barlow, and Cindy Gerson. We love you, girls. Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bras. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelorette Podcast, which just came out today and is so funny. We laughed a long time, so go listen to it. Oh. And here I am with my gorgeous little friend who's always in my memory, even on Memorial Day, and especially on Memorial Day. Thank you for what you've done for your country, Ben.
You're welcome. You're welcome, America.
You can find Ben Mandelker on the B-Side blog or the Banter Blender or at B-Side blog on Insta and Twitter.
Yes, please come follow me. Make me feel loved. I need it. I need it desperately.
Welcome home. I missed you.
I missed you too. How was your time in Palm Springs for your little weekend there?
Like, literally, no one cares. Let's do it on the bonus because that will turn into 5 hours.
I was just and trying then to have some cry. polite patter. Polite patter.
No. It'll turn into an ugly cry. You don't want that right now.
Well, our bonus episode is going to come out a little bit later this week. It's come out on Thursday this week instead of today. So everyone just gird your loins. And speaking of loins, as in lamb loins, something you might find at the restaurant Oz.
Emu
loins.
Let's
talk about Real Housewives of Potomac.
Oh, Potomac. Oh,
it was a good episode, Potomac. I thought. I was into it.
Oh, Real Housewives of Potomac. This show fills my heart with sadness sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like, Robin, please, Robin.
Here's why I feel very sad when I watch the show. Because these poor ladies are being shot through some sort of like shitty Instagram filter. Have you noticed the color scheme on this show is like terrible? It's like they're being shot through one of those filters no one ever uses, like Sutro or something. You know, everything's kind of like a maroon, like a harsh contrast maroon, you know? I don't know what's happening.
I don't know what's happening either, but I'm really loving that they're continuing random Bravo traditions, like this one of going backwards, like the Sunset Boulevard reveal of the dead guy in the pool and then working backwards.
Yes, they are really embracing this on Potomac this season. I think we've had about 4 episodes already that are like 3 hours earlier, you know?
Yeah, and I especially love it when they don't even try to make it a mystery. Because normally it's like, how did this happen? Why is everybody yelling at each other at a dinner party? And this time it's just Ashley screaming at her husband. It's like, we know what happened. It's not a mystery.
Well, I think they're just trying to remind people, hey, there's going to be some drama on this episode, so don't go away. Just please watch us. It's going to be a good one, we promise.
Yeah, basically it starts with, you're an insane asshole. I can't believe you're acting like this. You are insane, asshole. And he's like, well, I think I have a choice in the restaurant menu.
No, you don't.
It's my restaurant. It's my room. By the way, one of our listeners actually went to Oz last week and took a picture and posted it on our Facebook page. And she said it was really good. She was like, you know, it's a good restaurant, and I don't know why more people aren't here. I guess the market for emu sandwiches is just not there yet.
Yeah. I mean, look at their market. If this is all people like Charisse, I mean, Charisse is like, what they're going to serve next? A vengeance. And she says it in like this Asian accent. I'm like, okay, way to be an asshole and a racist asshole at the same time.
Yeah.
It's not a Chinese restaurant.
I didn't pick up on the Asian accent, but I picked up on the ignorance of it all, you know? Like, I mean, she's gonna be the type that's like, this restaurant serves sea urchin. Why do I want to eat urchin? Like, why do I want a street urchin? I don't like poor people. I'm not gonna eat poor people. I'm not gonna eat sea urchin. Shut up, Charisse.
Champagne womb, champagne, Sasa.
Tata. So
So,
anyway,
yeah.
big fight, and then 8 days earlier in Potomac.
8 days earlier. I'm like,
Yeah, we have
whoa,
to.
this is a long lead up to a fight by a car.
It's an entire Passover period has gone by. So long related to a fight by a car. So Ashley is now we're 8 days, 8 days earlier. Ashley's at the in the Kitchen of Oz, and she's like really liking the new food that the chef is making. What's his name?
Chef Brad. Chef
Chef
Brad is
Brad.
like, this is a step in the right direction. People get turned off by 80s food. And then he's like, look, seared scallops. Ugh.
It's funny because yesterday, so I am a little under the weather. I've been once again, I'm besieged by a cold. What can I say? Twice in
Bam.
a month. I know everyone. It's okay. I appreciate the support. I appreciate it. So in my illness, I ordered like a whole bunch of miso soup last night, and I was eating it, and I was naturally I have to watch TV while I'm eating my miso soup. So I turned on the Food Network Star. It's not even Food Network Star. It's like the second chance to be on Food Network Star. So they bring back all the other shitty people who
Oh,
we were
Lord.
lucky to be done with, including Joy of the What's Kimchi?
Kimchi.
And so the challenge was, it's like Valerie Bertinelli and Tyler Florence making these people have to update foods from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So it was thematically perfect for Potomac, you know? Like, and they even had to cook in these kitchens that look like Karen's kitchens. I was like, this is the Potomac tie-in we've been waiting for all along.
I don't know Valerie Bertinelli as a person, but I know her as Valerie Bertinelli, and I feel like I know her. And if I was on that Second Chance Kitchen, I would just make her mac and cheese. Because I feel like if you make Valerie Bertinelli mac and cheese, you're going to win.
I
Right?
would just, if I were on it, I would probably be stressed out, but I would look at Valerie Bertinelli and remind myself, I just have to take it one day at a time. One day at a time. Okay, anyone want a Nick at Night joke? No one? No one? By the way, one day at a time, best theme song, perhaps in all of TV history. And even though Gloria Estefan took her stab at it with the new version, it's not as good as the original. I'm sorry. I'm
Yeah,
sorry. I'm sorry.
Gloria Estefan. How would you feel if Valerie Bertinelli sang like that conga song? You wouldn't like that. How about you just stop? How about we just all leave Valerie Bertinelli alone? How about that?
Anyway, the point is this: 80s food is that. So the chef is like, we're moving on from 80s food, and somewhere Lisa Vanderpump is having a heart attack. Darling, the 80s were the pinnacle of cuisine. Ask Chef Joe.
I've got an idea. Salmon.
Chilean sea bass.
Nothing says 2017 like salmon.
Sad. Nothing says 2017 like runa tartar on a wonton chip.
Darling, let's get rid of the toasts and put it on wonton chips.
Caesar salad.
So Ashley, back to this crazy show.
Sorry,
No,
everyone.
that's me. I'm still
No, it's
like
my
I'm still
fault.
upset about Valerie Bertinelli and Gloria Estefan. Like that's a huge fight in my brain that probably never even happened.
The rhythm got one of them, but we're not saying who.
The rhythm did not get the scallops because they're still on a plate all these years later. So Ashley is basically changing the menu because Michael keeps saying no, so she's doing it behind his back with Chef Joe, who I'm not sure that I trust
It's
because
not Chef Joe. Chef Joe's at Sir. It's Chef Brad.
Oh, Chef Brad. Oh, you're right. Yeah, Chef
Chef
Joe's
Brad
still
is
calling
Chef
Kristen
Brad
a
is in a
slut.
Yeah, he's in a tacit rivalry with Chef Joe right now because by talking about the 80s, he doesn't want the food to look 80s anymore. It's like a subtle, you know, calling out of Chef Joe
I know.
in my mind.
I
I think
dare
they have a
him.
feud.
I dare him to make a cabbage soup. I dare him.
So
Start
either way, so they
a
are
war.
they're modernizing the food, and they have a food photographer there, and they are going to be taking pictures and stuff. And so the first dish is like a fried chicken and donuts with corn, which is actually, Ronnie, something that I had when I visited Austin and went to what's it called? You know that place, the donut place. You know,
Gordo's. Sorry, I
Gordo's.
was
Yeah.
sneezing. I had to mute my microphone because
So
I've got
funny.
manners.
That's so funny. I was about to blow my nose and mute it while I blew my nose. But that would require me to stop talking. And I've had a venti of tea, and I feel like I'm more jacked up than any coffee I've had.
So yeah, it was at Gordo's, and that shit is good. I had the donut bites and dumplings. I mean, donut bites, chicken and donut bite dumplings. I'm so dumb. Okay, so they're putting, they're trying to make it look right. And he's like, why you make it look different? It's all the same color. I'm like, okay. Well, how about you calm down, photographer?
Yeah, the photographer is being ridiculous because the way they arranged it, it just looks like a jumble of shit on a plate. It looks like someone actually threw up the chicken and donuts. And we know that that's actually a very solid dish just based on our aforementioned Gordo's experience. But it looks terrible. And Ashley's like, I can't do my Ashley voice today. I'm sorry, everyone. Sorry, continue weeping. But Ashley basically is like, can you even tell that it's chicken and donuts? And the photographer's like, why does it even matter? I'm like, you're a food photographer. That's the thing that matters the most.
All that matters is the corn. And then Ashley's like,
well, after those green-eyed bandits came in like thieves in the night, disrupting my business, I noticed that a business is something neither of one of them have. So, yeah, last I checked, snap, snap.
I'm like, girl, your business is paid for by your husband who won't let you change a dish. How about we stop trying to reinvent feminism, okay? Let's go back to the original way where it was actually like women making an effort.
If a chef makes chicken and donuts in a forest and no one is there to eat it, did he ever make it in the first place? That's what I ask.
What smells? Hold on. Oh my god. What am I burning down? I'm burning down something.
Ronnie, oh my god, Ronnie has caught something on fire. This is like a callback to the time on the podcast when there was a fire in my building. That's a little bonus to everyone.
Sorry.
What was burning?
I threw a cigarette in the sink and it was just a cigarette. So who cares? It's in the sink.
I filled the time by reminiscing on the time when we were podcasting and there was a fire in my building and I had to leave.
Oh my God. Thank you for vamping because you know, I hate to edit. That's left in.
If there's any episode where I can vamp today, I cannot stop chattering.
I know. So Valerie Bertinelli, just kidding. So then we go over to Robin who is,
Juan.
We're at the camp, the Juan camp.
Yeah.
And, someone says, you swerved that joint. I don't know why I wrote that down. I just like it.
Yeah, they park because Juan came in and he just sort of like did that thing that I've never been able to do and I've always been too scared to do where you come around a curve and then you just go directly into a spot, like one big semicircle of driving, like not even like sort of pausing and adjusting. He just got right in there. And that's when the kid was like, you swerved that joint.
So Robin is like, well, camp is a family affair. I mean, we can really bond here because Juan can do what he likes and he doesn't even have to look at me. Aww.
Oh. I'd also like to point out that they clearly shot some new interviews for this episode and Robin has full Helen Slater hair in them. She's like completely come into her own as a faux Helen Slater.
You know, Robin in these scenes when she's alone and like being emotionally abused by some guy who's wishing that she was dead. It's easy to feel bad for Robin, which I do. But then I remember her last week just going in and being like, this is my finger in your face. And then I remember that she's a horrible human being and I don't feel bad for her at all.
I don't think she's horrible.
She's horrible.
We've seen horrible behavior on a lot of these shows and her getting mad at Robin and being like, this is my finger in your face is really nothing compared to the shit we've seen on other
that's true.
From other women. It's that's really true. Benign.
Yeah, she's kind of okay. It's just like Giselle winds her up and then she gets horrible because it happens. Yeah. It's 2 years in a row now that she's only wound up by Giselle.
Yeah.
But anyway, she's like, well, it's so good to see Juan do this because he has so much to offer. If my boys can see their dad be passionate and successful, then, you know, maybe they'll stop talking to me and leave.
So we then go to Karen Huber over at the golf range and she's joined by Monique who shows up in wedges, which is very suspect. I don't know if wedges is the perfect thing to wear when
of course golfing. Karen is all over her. She's like, well, I guess you didn't get my memo about what to wear at Top Golf. I'm like, Karen, you're in short shorts, a skin tight white button up, and like a hair scarf from the 50s.
Yeah. She should have had a poodle skirt on.
What did your memo say?
Well, I just need to match my ovens and appliances. So, so basically, Monique starts telling Karen about how Giselle wouldn't give her her number the other night. And then Ashley shows up, and now Ashley's in heels, so now everyone's in the wrong shoes. And now Ashley's complaining about the girls coming to the restaurant and making a scene. And I love that Karen isn't even like, well, that's terrible. She just turns to Ashley and is like, what did you do, Ashley?
What did Ashley? You do?
Ashley.
What did you do, Ashley? Way Ashley, to blame the victim.
You know what your menu needs, Ashley? A little more eye candy. Am I right? Eye candy? Eye candy? Like a pilot. Eye candy.
You know what I'd order if I was at your restaurant, Ashley? A tall glass of water like Giselle's boyfriend.
He's certainly some eye candy.
I'll sure spill the tea on that one. No, I won't spill tea because I have manners. As you'll see that I've framed in a Ross Dress for Less photo. That's crooked. So Ashley's like, what did I do? I didn't do anything. They came into my business and they yelled at me. She's like, what did you do, Ashley? And then Karen just kind of like tells her off in like snotty mom way. Like, I'm just here because this needs to change.
She's like, what we all need to do is we all need to come together. I'm like, don't you realize all this shit happens whenever you guys come together? Like, that is not the answer for you people.
It's not like she tried to sit in the center of the booth during your birthday, Ashley. Also, Karen is wearing, in her diary room session, she's wearing a new bathing suit dress. I love that she just wears dresses made out of bathing suit material. It's hilarious. It's a new thing that goes all the way up to her chin. And it's like it's a bright or maroon bathing suit with a big clown ruffle on the shoulder.
She loves a clown ruffle. She's like, this is from the Santino Rice collection.
Water aerobics, Ashley.
So then we go over to Monique's house where Monique and Chris are putting the kids to sleep. The kids are crying and Chris is like, you think Cam Newton cries like this?
I'm only out of the Super Bowl.
I need you to be a big man, okay, Jack?
And then they showed Monique's in bed with one of the kids, putting them to bed, and he's with the daughter. Like, she looks really like a thumb. He's so big, and he's like,
hush, little baby, don't say a word. Daddy going to get you a mockingbird.
It's like all the trees are falling down in the forest. So there, then in the other room, Monique's like, baby, I love you. Have a great sleep. Give me a kiss. And he goes, I kiss your boobies. And she's like, I'm going to tell your daddy on you.
I'm surprised she wasn't just saying to the kid, you know, before you go to sleep, just remember, you know, marriage isn't easy. And, you know, we certainly have it hard. Like, your dad and I, like, we have issues and stuff, but we get through it, you know, we get through it. And the sex life is great. The sex is great. You know, the kid's probably like, Mom, please stop talking about this. You tell everyone. I thought I would be spared.
It's like, please just read a story. Please don't try to just tell me a story, Mom. Read from a book, okay?
Mom, I don't care about your aerator. Just please read me Frozen.
Well, there was this little girl named Goldilocks, and she wore a red thing, and I love red capes. I used to have this red cape when I met your dad, and I was like, I'm not going to date him because he did all these other women, so I would wear this red cape. And he's like, I love your red cape. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm in a red cape. And I was like, who are you going to marry?
The kid is like, oh, my God. She's like, once upon a time, Goldilocks was walking through the forest, and she found a house, and there was one bed. The bed was too big, and one bed. The bed was too small. One bed was just right. So she just bought all three of them. Because that's fine. And you know what? The truth is, we're not bragging. It's just like, that's what Goldilocks has. She just had three beds. That's it. Like, I don't see what the big deal is.
A wolf came and tried to blow her fish aquarium down in her kitchen. She was like, I'll just move to a different kitchen. The end.
The end. And then Goldilocks had a side yard party with the bears, and that was it.
One of the bears said, "This mac and cheese is too cold." And I said, "You better get the hell out of my house, Trick."
And then one of the bears came and didn't even bring a $700 bottle of wine. Marked down to $250.
So next up is a double date with Jizz and Karen and their men. So yes, Karen, they're at like a golf go-kart place, go-kart. Which basically the only place these people ever get to go are park benches or chain restaurants. They were just at Top Golf, and now they're at one of those like go-kart places. And Karen gets out of the car and she goes, "Please tell me we're not at Warehouse."
You can see Ray got excited. He's like, "Oh, I love a place with lots of inventory. Are we going to organize? Are we going to walk around and look at boxes and package materials?" "Oh, Ray, you're so romantic. I take it back.
That's my man, Ray." So Kevin comes over and he's like, "Hello, old person. How lovely to meet you." And he grabs his hand and then puts his other hand over the palm, you know, like that double handshake.
Yes.
And I'm like, "I do not trust you. I already don't. I do not trust people who trap old people hands. I don't trust him."
Well, I also don't trust when he says to Karen, "I'm a hugger." She's like, "Oh, wow, the eye candy hugs." More like arm candy.
It's like a large, long peppermint grabbing me. Feels great.
I haven't been this excited since I saw someone wear appropriate footwear to the golf range.
It's now, like if you were at Top Golf, what kind of shoes would you expect me to be wearing, Kevin? He's like, not wedges. Oh, Kevin, drink of water.
Kevin, you do take my breath away. I do say so myself. Now, what's your favorite material? Silk, satin, or some sort of synthetic bathing suit material? I'd have to say synthetic bathing suit material. Oh, Kevin. I do say so myself. That... people can come for me, but they don't know where to find me, except for Kevin.
If you come for me, you better be prepared to drive down a very long driveway, because I require one in whatever home I'm in. Circular, preferably. So she's going to give advice to Giselle. And she's like, "Well, if Miss Giselle would like my advice." And they show a clip of Karen like, "I'm going to have a lingerie shoot for Ray." Oh, good. So then she tells us, "Jessica Rabbit has nothing on me." I was like, did you not have a Mae West reference ready? Like, Jessica Rabbit.
Betty Boop has got nothing on me either. Really, I just compete with cartoons.
Talk about dishes from the 80s. Like, modernize your sex talk, lady. So Giselle says...
It's sort of inappropriate, though, because Ray is a little Roger Rabbity. I can imagine him being like... "Please, Karen."
If Roger Rabbit was like, "Eddie, what you need is to not show your boobies so much because you're old."
I can't help but wonder why my car keeps sassing back to me so much.
Let's see here. So,
Giselle, shaving a haircut, otherwise Ray will go crazy.
So they're putting on their helmets, and Giselle goes, "Well, that's a small. I need a large." Like, she says everything in such a bitchy way. And she goes, "That lady has a big head." Kevin says, "She didn't mean the helmet." And Karen, who with anybody else would have been like, "The manners, that man."
Not at the Willard. And, of course, I realize we're not at the Willard, but I have to assume that the Willard has some ownership in this fine go-karting complex.
That man referenced his penis in a warehouse. Someone please tell me I wasn't just... attacked by an imaginary penis in a warehouse.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave the go-kart symposium.
Yeah, but not him. She's like, "Oh, tall drink of water, Kevin." So they race, and Ray's driving like slow behind them. He's like, "I know there's a stop sign somewhere here. Otherwise, how could you curve with confidence that you're not going to hit a doe?"
"Well, dear, you don't want to go too fast because you never know when one of those deer are going to actually jump out at you." See how I have said deer? I called you deer. It's a little joke there.
And then Karen gives this weird advice when they're go-karting and Giselle, I think Giselle wins. And Karen goes, Giselle, never beat the man if you want the marriage to last.
Right.
Yes, nothing will sever a marriage like a woman beating a man at go-karting.
Way to keep it current, lady.
Yeah.
So she takes Kevin away to have a talk, and Giselle is stuck with Ray. And Ray's like, nah. Giselle says, she's ruined my day before, and now she left me with Uncle Ben's. I like that it's not Uncle Ben's. It's like Uncle Ben apostrophe S.
She
just left off the rice. Stupid Giselle.
So basically, yeah, Ray is sitting there. I mean, Ray is so cute. He's such an old man with his, like, hiked up khakis and everything. And he's trying to give some advice about, you know, why, like, Giselle needs to be getting married and stuff. He's like, well, you know, because you need to attract guys while you still can. Because in 20 years from now, you're going to be butt ugly. So just think about that for a second.
You're like the first time you see water leaking on a wall. And you think that's not so bad, but before you know it, the wall just falls down and sags until you have to get a new wall. She's like, wait a minute. Get me the fuck away from this old man.
He's like, you ever see a flash flood? First comes down like a trickle of water through the canyon. The next thing you know, your car is just pushed all the way away and you're never going to have it again. And you're hoping you've got your insurance. That's what aging is like. One moment, everything is fine. The next thing you know, everything is fully ruined. And guess what? Giselle, you're a dry old riverbed waiting to be flooded.
You're Jessica Tandy right now, but soon you'll just be a dead rose, and no one buys dead roses.
Thanks, Ray.
So meanwhile, Kevin's with Karen, and he's like, oh, Karen, I love that scarf. And she's like, oh, Kevin.
If I do say so myself, I always thought of it as more of a pashmina than a scarf, but you can call it whatever you want.
Well, Sade did it, didn't she? You're a charming something-something, ain't you, Kevin? I'm like, okay, now a Sade reference.
You're a smooth operator, aren't you, huh? Is it really a crime? I don't think so.
So Karen asks him about sex. He's like, we haven't had sex. She's like, I don't believe that, Kevin. You're a good-looking man, aren't you, something-something? Sade thinks
you're
one.
Ask you this. Do you guys ever saxed? He's like, what's that? He's like, well, that's like sex, except you do it over a fax machine. You ever do that? Ray and I do it all the time. It gets awkward with the cover sheets and everything, but, you know.
He's like, beep, beep. Oh, Kevin. Dirty what? Little something, hey. Something tea. So Giselle tells Ray, she goes, you need to understand, Ray. This is a catch. And she goes, Black Bill Gates, sit down. This don't fade, okay?
I am not like Windows 95. I am up to date.
So now Michael and Ashley in the morning. He's like, good morning. We need to talk about...
That sounds like a terrible radio show. Michael and Ashley in the morning. So, yeah, she's lying in bed.
He's like, I've got some menu ideas on my Palm Pilot. She's like,
yeah, we used to, like, massage each other and touch, and now it's all about crunching numbers.
Yes, she's upset because he wants to do business, and he's upset because, I don't know why. I don't really know why he's
upset.
She's
changing the menu because... She basically is trying to lay it on him. She's like,
well, we are going to have a party because, you know, the menu changes and caressing.
And he's like, wait a minute. You're taking all the Aussie out of the menu. It's not for you to say the menu's changing. It's more a restaurant.
Yeah. And she's like, yeah, but I'm the one who runs the restaurant, and it is my choice, essentially. And yeah, she tells him that there's going to be this critic's choice dinner, which is basically food bloggers. And then now he's really upset because he didn't know about it. It's happening in like 2 days. And he's like, the negative from a blogger is worse than nothing from a blogger. I'm like, not really. Not really. First of all, if you give the blogger free food, they're always going to say something nice. I speak from experience.
Well, not this time. They found the only one with really negative shit to say. They're like, here's some camera time.
Yeah. Jerk. Well, that guy wasn't
like,
a food blogger.
Well, I don't like tomatoes that aren't... Oh, he was like a famous chef or something.
Yes,
he was like
exactly.
Telling him off, and Ashley's like, great, good to see you, green-eyed monster.
I also don't think that like a bunch of food bloggers is going to be as terrible to the restaurant as having a full camera crew that's broadcasting all the things that are wrong with Oz to the entire nation.
Yeah. A negative food blogger on television is worse than a tree-beating... Just do it. Just do it, Mike. So he's mad, and she doesn't care. She's going to do it. And she goes,
wow, is this like us prepping for parenthood?
And he goes, no, because when we have a baby, we'll do exactly what I say. Like, how is this any different?
Yeah, exactly.
You are never having a baby.
Yeah, you're never having a baby. Don't think we forgot about what happened season one, Michael, also, by the way. We remember what your storyline was season one, okay? We know there's no baby coming up. We know the real reason why you're angry in the morning.
Yeah. Why is it I forgot?
You're not cuddling. Well, it has to do with certain behavior that happened at
body
gay bars.
Parts.
And body parts and hands on asses of men.
Well, I enjoy visiting Disneyland. Does that make me Mickey Mouse? So the girls get all their invites, and they're these like golden envelopes, which, look, these girls haven't had an invite that's not on an Evite for ages. They don't even know what to do with the paper. Charisse
is so
look
dumb.
Look at this. It's an invite.
She's like, the land of Oz. Oz? Oh, my goodness. And then everything... First of all, by the way, you know the women are all going to come because even though they're all mad at Ashley, they're never going to turn down a free meal. And then I love how the invite says your 2 cents are invited, as in like, I'd like to hear your two cents. And they're all like, 2 cents? I have more than 2 cents. I'm like, you people are so stupid. The fact that you're getting offended at this shows how dumb you are.
If she thinks she's getting my 2 cents, she doesn't know me. I'm saving up for a new stove. And Charisse is like, I have more than 2 cents. Maybe I'll go if I can see anything I can eat. Right, dogs? Right, my little dogs? I was like, you are the saddest woman I've ever seen. Please go inside. Her dogs are like, we're bored with you. Yeah.
You haven't had good food in here since Giselle made crabs 2 years ago.
So Robin, the kids are being chefs. It's my mom's birthday. Mm. And, you know, Juan is uncomfortable, even though my parents raised him as their own. He didn't have a good dad, and he wants to be different, so he's a good dad. It's like, no, not. And Juan's just standing there being an asshole. And now the parents did raise Juan, and it's a special dinner for her birthday, and it's like boxed mac and cheese because they're so poor. And then he's just standing there, and he's like, I don't even know what it is. I'm just being a dick. But he's standing there, and he's like, hey, Robin, my boss asked me to meet him. No, your boss did not ask you to come meet him.
Yeah, it was like a Sunday afternoon or something.
You're going to go fuck your hussy during the woman who raised you's birthday dinner. You really are a fucking asshole.
Well, he probably feels guilty about like a situation with Robin and doesn't want to be around the parents. And she's like, well, you just tell your boss that like you're out doing something with your family. Like, that's just the way it goes. And she was actually right. I mean, I know that's not in all situations that doesn't work, but if the boss like last minute is like, oh, I need to see you. And you're like, oh, sorry, I'm at my ex-mother-in-law / my mom's birthday dinner. I think the boss will understand.
I'm sure
wait 2 hours.
His boss is the camp guy. It's like his boss is calling like, hey, we need it's an emergency dinner meeting to discuss basketball camp.
Yeah.
Like, shut up, Juan. It doesn't even sound like you're trying to be believable. And then so she tells him that and he says, you're trying to downplay this. You're trying to downplay it. You need to be better.
Yeah.
Just be better. How about that? So she's like, well, he can be distant, but I don't know what's going on now, but it's definitely something. Like, Robin, he's trying to get out of here to fuck his hussy, who you know he's got because Ashley's told you 20 times this season.
And you know what, though? It's not really – he's not even – like wrong for doing that because you guys are divorced.
Yeah, exactly. So she's like, Mom, thanks for coming over. I'm thinking of going on ancestry.com because I want to understand my roots.
Yeah. By the way, I would like to say the kids were very cute. They have their younger child, I think it is. He's like this like beanpole. He reminds me of Groot from Guardians of the Galaxy, and that's a good thing. It's like adorable. Like Groot is that cute little wooden thingy. I think this is a good thing. I'm complimenting the child for being super cute.
Yeah, he's cute. He's the waiter.
Getting
he's
mad.
Like,
may
getting
I
mad at
get
no
you
one.
Something to drink? Welcome to our restaurant.
So
I used to do that with my brother. We used to have like a little restaurant too. Like we called it the Golden Egg, and we would serve my parents breakfast in bed. But of course, since we were young, we didn't really know how to make breakfast. So it'd basically be like my dad would make the breakfast, if I remember correctly. Actually, I don't even know we didn't even make breakfast. We just made a menu, and we'd come and be like, "Welcome to the Golden Egg. We are serving you breakfast in bed." And then we'd be like, "Okay, can you make breakfast now?"
The gallon of milk is really heavy, Mom. Could you come pour it for us?
Yeah, pretty much.
So next up is Karen and Jizz. And this is Karen doing her boudoir. Her boudoir photos for Ray. She comes out wearing... Oh, no, she's not dressed yet, right? So Giselle comes over wearing some cheetah, like, pajamas. It's weird.
Yeah, it's definitely like some sort of, like, ode to Chitara from the, you know, Thundercats or something like that. She's wearing a cheetah. It's not pajamas. It's like a bodysuit. And, you know, it's kind of like a funny outfit. And Karen's like, "You did not wear a cheetah outfit to my photo shoot. It's my photo shoot, Giselle. I hope you remember that."
And then Giselle's like, "Well, I'm going to show you how to pose." So she goes on the stairs and spreads her legs. And Karen goes, "Now, Giselle, you want to get married, not turn into a hooker on the stairs before you even get a chance."
I liked how Karen's, her version of a sexy photo shoot ultimately wound up being her in like a man's shirt with a tie and a hat. It was like very Michael Jackson.
It was very Liza Minnelli. That white button-down shirt with black tights and a hat.
Yeah. Like, no lingerie to be found. It's a sexy photo shoot where I'm going to show a little bit of skin around my calf.
And Giselle goes, "I'm sexy. What about garters?" And she goes, "Whoa, garters. Those are too much. That's too much for Ray. I don't give him everything at once. Now, my breasts are named Florence and Henderson, and they'll decide when they get clean."
I was thinking about wearing some khaki shorts. I thought that might really turn him on, but I'm going to be a little extra risque and just not wear any shorts at all. What do you think, Jizz?
I'm cargo shorts, where Ray realizes he can carry a wallet plus a screwdriver or anything else that is on his mind.
I was thinking in honor of Ray, I would wear some tight pants and a polo shirt that's perhaps slightly too big, but tuck it way in there. Maybe I'd dangle some sunglasses from the collar.
"Won't you play me that jazz hot, baby? Earth too hot for Ray. Change the channel." This is stupid. So horror music, it's like... It's like a serial killer walking down the street in a Lifetime music. 1 hour before event. So Ashley's at the restaurant. She's like, "Where are the waiters? How many waiters do we have?" And he's like, 2 or 3. And she's like, "Oh... Dun, 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 dun." The great understaffed horror show.
I know. I would also like to say that this has never been resolved. This does not get resolved in the episode about what happens to the waiters. Do they ever show up? And where did they go? This is the only time we are introduced to the waiter drama. And I was like, fuck, they're not going to have waiters. This is going to be a disaster. But we never come back to it. It's unresolved. Unsolved mystery. Ashley, where's Carl Malden?
Ashley lays it out for us, like how scary this is. She goes, "If this doesn't work, it's the nail in a coffin." It's like one nail. It's like the coffin that can never hold a dead person in. Like, what are you even talking about, Ashley?
Even the coffin doesn't work well at Oz. So now she's in a fight with Michael. And we know it's like a real fight because it's not even on speakerphone. You know, this is a true, real fight. And so they're talking on the phone, and she's mad at him, and she's yelling things like, "This is not about you. This is not about you." You know, and we don't know what he's saying, but like we're hearing things like, "Do you want me to care about you or the restaurant? Oh, you are the restaurant. You are the restaurant."
And then he drives up outside his car and he's like so angry he can't even park it right. And she's like, "You want to be a bully? Well, then come on in here. I'm ready for you, boo. I'm ready." So she goes out to fight with him and he's waving off the cameras. He's like, "No. I've told you once, and I'm telling you once. No." And so he goes to hide behind a car.
"Do not come in here."
So this is basically just a huge fight. And she's like, he goes, "Stop your yelling." And she goes, "You yelled at me all day, you insane asshole.
Oh, it's all about you. I don't massage your feet or rub your ball bag. I'm sick of it.
I just want to say, Ronnie, what I'm loving about your Ashley impersonation today is that it's really moving into Olive from Bullets Over Broadway.
I know. I don't know where mine even went today. I think I'm just supporting like your illness today.
No, it's a huge compliment.
Charmed, charmed. To be or
not to be.
Not to be.
My character needs more scenes. Charmed. Charmed.
I don't get it.
So this is just an awkward fight, but the poor Chef Joe, who's polishing glasses for some reason, is just laughing with the, you know, the hostess slash waiter slash bathroom attendant that they've hired.
Michael does the thing that drives me absolutely nuts, and we see it all the time on these shows where they were clearly just yelling at each other on the phone, and now once the cameras are there, doing that like that fucking mind trick thing, like, why are you yelling? Why are you yelling right now? Keep your voice down. And you know who else does this? And we're gonna get to it later in this episode. Freaking Kamani on Invite Only Cabo. And I mean, to be fair, Ashley actually was yelling here, but Kamani later on, she's the queen of being, you know, saying, hey, Kamani, I have an issue. First of all, can you keep your voice down?
Yeah, I hate when people do that. And it really especially bugs me with Kamani because she's such an asshole. She's like, well, you're a dirty whore. I need you to keep your voice down.
Because it's like a deflection, you know? When people do that, it's basically a deflection. It's like, I don't know what to say right now, but I'm going to change the topic, and it's going to make you mad because you, like, either A, you have a right to be yelling, as in Ashley, or B, it'll make you mad because you weren't yelling, you know?
Exactly.
It drives me nuts. And so Michael is doing it here to Ashley, and then she's like, fuck you, you were yelling at me all this time. And then so now... And then it gets like real serious. She's like, you know, she basically is like, if you shut down this restaurant, the marriage will be over. And he's like, it's my restaurant.
I wrote down so much. He's like, this is mine. And she's like,
everything's yours. It's like you're my dad, not my husband.
I'm like, well, yeah. This is when you find that out. How many times have you almost choked to death on those nets? Like now you realize.
Unfortunately, Ashley, there is no pull-out method when it comes to owning a restaurant. So she storms into the restaurant, and now Michael still wants to talk to her. And now he just wants an apology or something like that. All he wants is a sorry. For what? I'm not sure, but he just wants a sorry. And he also wants to cancel this Critics' Choice dinner, which is happening in an hour. Could you imagine canceling the Critics' Choice an hour before all those important food bloggers show up?
She goes,
for him to say he's going to close it, it's a reminder that he holds all the reins and all the power in this relationship.
I'm like, yeah, Ashley. Like, if you want your own power, go get a job. Like, you spend all his money to keep opening your little passion projects. That's not the same thing as being an independent woman. If you want to be independent, go do it yourself or go raise money from somebody else where you get to own. It's so weird. It's like, I want to be independent but use all of your money. That's not really how that works.
Yeah, exactly. And then he pushes like an Australian, some sort of Australian agenda. I mean, which I understand, he's Australian, and I think didn't they talk about it last season when they were putting together the restaurant? They were excited to do an Australian themed restaurant, but it seems like they misjudge the market and they are way too stuck on this idea.
And it's just
really
like eating things that people have come on our Facebook and said, we don't just eat kangaroos. Like, I don't even know what these people are talking about. They're like, koala bear, it's a koala bear club. Like, just because it's from Australia doesn't mean we want to eat it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's not like there are American restaurants where we serve bald eagle. I mean, of course it's endangered and you're not supposed to kill it, but either we don't serve grizzly bear.
That's true.
Thank you. But also, you know, because I have done a little bit of research about Australian food cuisine, because I don't really know what it is. And from what I've heard, what I've read about Australian cuisine, like a big thing are like meat pies. That's a really popular thing in Australia. And in fact, there are a few Australian meat pie places around LA. And basically, in fact, LA Weekly had a whole article about Australian cuisine about 2 years ago, exploring what it is. And Australian cuisine is sort of similar to American cuisine in the sense that it's really influenced by other cultures. So that, like, there's apparently like a really big Asian influence in Australian cuisine, like a lot of Thai. If you go to Australia, there's like a lot of Thai food. And also Italian food. There's a big Italian population there, and there's a big cafe culture, which is just my way of pontificating about a cuisine I know nothing about. And the point is this, that's where they should be getting their inspiration from, not koala meat.
Yeah, no kidding.
Maybe Madonna Hines, our super premium sponsor, can weigh in on what this cuisine is like, because she's from Australia, in case you missed the podcast spotlight a few weeks ago.
What was I going to say?
I don't know. I derailed everything with a monologue that no one truly cared about.
No, I cared. I love a meat pie.
I didn't even care. I was like halfway through. I was like, where's my pull-out method on this story? Nowhere. I'll just see it through.
No, I'm so sorry. I was looking for something on my desk. It's just so rude.
That exciting. I made Ronnie go look for a stapler. He's like, yeah, that's great, Ben. Tell us more about what you learned from reading an article 2 years ago. Anyway, the point is this. Ashley is now crying in the closet. Well, she's like, keep it together. Come on, keep it together. And then she comes out, and Michael's like cutting with like one of those big paper cutter things. He's cutting menu things. And then she goes over to be like, oh, well, thank you for helping out with that. And he's like, well, I want an apology. So then they start fighting again.
Yeah, she's like, I will cut your dick off with this gigantic paper cutter that you only see in schools. It's like, what are they even doing with that thing? It's like this huge armed thing on the bar. Like, please clear the paper cutter, okay? So people start showing up, and Chris is like, hello, what a wonderful time to eat. Whatever.
Thi-thi-tho-fum. I want something spicy. Yum.
So Robin, Giselle, and Charisse are coming up. And Monique is like, I'm sorry, I skipped ahead. So Giselle is walking in with Charisse. And she's like, well, here we are back at this disgusting place. They better have some wings. And then that's when Charisse is like, what are they going to add to the menu? Like, she's like all racist.
So now I have to do another monologue. Now, even though we just said like the ridiculous part about this restaurant is that they're serving koala and emu and all that stuff. That being said, Charisse, what a jackass. Because even if most Australians are not sitting there eating kangaroo every single night, I mean, it is eaten. And like, that she's acting like this restaurant is so bonkers just really makes her look like an idiot.
They both look so fucking ignorant. That's my thing about – that's always been my thing with this show. Like, Giselle says things that are so ignorant, and then she's like brags about it. It's like, you better have some wings. Like, really, Giselle, you can't just go to a restaurant and like,
I don't know. I felt like hers was funnier. So, I felt like it was more of a tongue-in-cheek moment, you know? To me, that didn't bother me. That didn't read as ignorant to me. To me, it was just like she was making a funny joke about how she likes chicken, you know? But whereas Charisse, she thought she was being really funny, but she just looked like a jackass. So for me, I give Giselle – I'm a little bit more lenient with my Giselle than you are, my Giselle observations. But I felt like Charisse looked more like the jackass.
It's like a race to the bottom. At this point, really.
Yes.
So Robin's like, well, I was right to confront Ashley, but things got ugly and I'm here to own up. I was like, okay, let's sit here and wait for an apology from Robin. Yes, it's gonna be coming any second. So yeah. Ashley comes out to the table where it's, you know, Karen and those two, and she's
and before Ashley gets there, I just wanna say that Monique is there. And when Giselle and Karen show up, Giselle is like, hi, Monique, and that's it. And she's like, well, I am going to say hi to Monique because I'm classy. I'm like,
but that's all she's getting.
I don't think saying hi to someone makes you classy. It means that you have the most basic level of manners.
Yeah.
Being classy would be talking with her and maybe acting like a human being.
Can you believe the woman has a fish tank? Ashley comes out to the table. She's like, thanks for coming, ladies. Can I get an embrace? And so they're like, okay, like light hugs. Giselle's like, who does she tell? Oh, she's like,
Charisse. Hi, Charisse. Charisse, are you okay? Because you're literally giving me the cold shoulder.
I'm like, you're standing behind her chair.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you come to the front of the table?
Yeah. See, Ashley was a bit aggressive with her making amends. You know, she definitely had some attitude. I mean, to be fair, she was in an agitated state because right before this, you know, she and Michael made a presentation to all the food bloggers and Michael totally hijacked it. You know, this was her idea. And then he takes over and he makes a presentation and it was like a total mansplaining moment. So she was already like fuming on the inside. And by the way, it was also funny because earlier Monique asked Michael how the baby making is happening. And he's like, nope, no baby's coming on the horizon. I'm like, yeah, I think we know why. But either way, so now Ashley is like all in a tizzy and she's being very aggro with her version of apologizing. And she's trying to apologize, but they're not into it. And then finally, essentially, Karen, but one of them's like, Ashley, you seem out of sorts. We feel like something else is going on with you. What's going on? And she's like, well, having a lot of problems with the marriage and the restaurant. And they're like, oh, so you're dealing with shit in your life. Okay, we all forgive you. Now that we know that you're miserable.
And she, when she says she's sorry to Charisse is like, the thing you said was ugly, top of the moment for you. She gets her like British fancy accent. And she goes, I never attacked you personally. I'm like, really? Because you said, how is it being married to that old son of a bitch who probably got his tubes tied on purpose so he didn't have to get you pregnant? I mean, you're such a liar. You're such a liar, Charisse. And also I have to mention that during that speech where Michael takes over and then Ashley comes in and they're both like, it's so awkward because he's like, well, working with your wife. She's like, it's not fun. Just kidding. But I'm not kidding because it's terrible. And I'm probably going to leave him in a second. And then Giselle, she goes, well, there might be hesitation about eating kangaroo and emu. And then Giselle, during the speech, is like, I don't even know what an emu is. She's like, I don't even know what emu is. And then Robin goes, it's like a big ostrich. And Giselle
Haven't
goes,
you ever done a crossword?
And Ashley's still talking. And then Giselle's doing that thing where she's like dissing everybody, but with non-disses. She's like, I don't even know what an emu is. You got desserts. I'm like, okay. That's not a diss, and you're just fucking rude. Just be quiet. Let her at least get her speech out, you know?
I have to say, there's been so much discussion about eating emu in the season of Potomac that I actually would like to try emu now.
I just looked it up because I was like, is it an ostrich? So I looked it up, and it is like a big, fat ostrich with devil eyes.
It's like a cassowary, you know? It sort of looks like a cassowary.
I don't know what that is. You just totally made me feel like Giselle. You got dessert?
A cassowary, you don't want to ever meet a cassowary. It's this big, crazy bird, and... A cassowary is sort of between an ostrich and an emu, and it has this like crazy talon. And if it attacks you, it's gonna like it's like a running bird. And if it attacks you, it's gonna like it goes like foot first, and basically its claw will disembowel you and kill you.
Oh my god! Cassowaries are, like,
real, they kill humans, and apparently it happens a lot.
Well, God, I'm glad you told me.
And they get angry. They get angry.
Just in case I run up against one day, it's gonna be like, you win. Please leave my stomach alone.
Yeah, I don't think it's gonna even. I don't think there's any reasoning with it. I think once you get a cassowary mad, it's like many of the Real Housewives. It's just gonna come and it's gonna come at you until it disembowels you, no matter how many times you say I'm sorry.
Well, in this fight, I liked that Ashley's like, my marriage is terrible and everything sucks, and they're like, oh, okay, because it's so hard for anybody to just admit that, you know. I guess in life, but on this show too. But I also like that Robin. I like that Robin can just say what she's saying. You know, she's like, if you had a concern, you could have just called me and not wait for some party to make me look stupid. You know, it says you have to stir up drama. And she's like,
but everybody else gets to talk about each other.
And Giselle's like, that is not true. Now, I've had moments with Charisse, but we got over it. She's like,
you did it on national television. At least I did it to her face.
And then she goes, you know, you get stuck in the mud. And she goes, oh no, you didn't say we're stuck in the mud. We are not stuck in the mud. Yeah.
Does a picture frame sit in the mud? I don't think so.
Like, that's the most offensive thing she's ever
I know.
But I think Robin, you know, Robin coming in and doing all that, sticking her finger in the face was just gross. And it's like typical when she gets that mad. But
she
is right.
So much.
Because it's so rude. You go into somebody's place of business and start yelling in front of all the customers and trying to like chola fight. It's fucked up.
It's rude. But you know what, though? It's like, it's not crazier than anything we've seen in other shows. And on top of that, it's what we've been waiting for, some sort of exciting moment on this show. So I'm just like happy
that it
happened.
To get into a car and drive all the way to somebody's restaurant just to go in there and do that.
It's
so
already
Giselle.
A failing restaurant.
You know, it bugs me, I think, mostly because it's Giselle. You know, it doesn't even bug me as much because I know that Robin's just like, I'm wound up. Here's my finger.
What bugged me is that the restaurant already is not doing well. And to do that is just like really nasty.
Yeah. Well, all that said, I mean, Robin was right. You know, Ashley did go to everybody and was like, I hear their mom's cheating. And then they showed the clip of last year when Ashley's like, oh, lovely swing set. By the way, I looked up Robin and she's going through bankruptcy. Like, she is really bad with that stuff.
She's bad with, I actually do believe, well, I mean, in that case, she was just being gossipy. I think that she doesn't know when to be a reality star and when to be a friend. And she, I think probably the producers say to her, like, hey, you should say this because it's going to be really, like, good for the show. So she does it, and then she gets stuck in a jam. But I do actually think in this case, I think she was just appealing to the women to be like, this is what I've heard. Like, you know, like, what should we do? What should we say? Should I say something or whatever? I mean, she did sort of say it in a gossipy way. But at the same time, like she said, they all gossip.
Yeah. Well, after they have the talk with Ashley, Cerise goes, well, I think everyone needs therapy because I'm a therapy. I'm like, congratulations on having two internet sessions with your free doctor, Dr. Jeff. But like, please stop proselytizing, Philly.
Please, please. And so that was the end of that show. But before we go, we want to talk about a little invite-only cabo because we're still really enjoying it. So we're keeping tabs on it on the side here. So this week's episode was full of pretty much the same shit. And as it happens, I actually really enjoy the same shit on this show because it's all so petty and so ridiculous. I'm still so massively confused about this Bianca-Larry relationship. I don't understand why. So here's the thing. I feel like the producers are really trying to con us, and I feel like everything has been taken out of context to make us feel like there's a romantic situation that is going on and off, whereas I feel like in real life they are not talking about romantic things, and the producers are trying to make us think it's that, right?
No, that's what they say. Like, they always, they're friends, but they aren't romantic. But then on this show, suddenly, like, they're dancing, and then he kissed her and showed her Spanx to everybody, and then she got her butt touched. Her butt crack? Or her butt? But her butt touched, and it doesn't make any sense, but Bianca's doing that thing where she's like, I'm just mad. Like, she'll be mad about every little thing to try and get a reaction so she feels, like, validated emotionally, and he's like, what are you doing? She's like, what are you doing? And she does that thing where she fights with him like that. She just repeats what he's saying. He's like, well, I don't do drama. And she's like, I don't do drama. He's like, but I'm talking about you back because you like to do drama. I don't do drama. She's like, well, drama is what you do. I'm like, okay, baby.
Yeah, and so he's just exasperated with her. He's like, honestly, I'm just going to shut this all down. I'm like, no, you're not, because it's your own reality show, and you're not going to abort it after, like, three episodes, okay? So don't do that. And then
I like when Larry says things like everybody should know, but we don't yet. Like, he says, there's tension in here, and that's not what vacation is about. We need to coexist in the house or not. I'm like, that's what vacation is about. It's tension. That's not what vacation is about.
You know what vacation's usually about? Taking a bunch of people who know each other and get along. That's what vacation's usually about. Vacation's usually not about taking a bunch of people who don't know each other and having a camera crew from Bravo tag along.
Kamala is the most guilty of this, but Kamani. I like when everybody, what was it? Oh,
you always
Kamani.
Call her Kamala, like Kamala Harris.
What is wrong with me? Kamani. Kamani's the worst with this, but they all do that. This reality show thing, like, I'm not here to make friends. And Bianca keeps doing it. She's like, I'm a grown-ass woman. Stay in your lane. I'm like, oh, geez. Good one, Bianca.
So basically, Larry and Bianca have tension throughout the episode because of this whole situation, you know, wherein someone touched her butt and then he called her out about it when he was on the elliptical, which automatically makes it very lighthearted, as everyone knows ellipticals do. And then she
again,
was there.
I was on the elliptical. Hey, Larry.
What part of elliptical do you not understand? It is automatically lighthearted. Like, I don't get this. I'm not here for the drama. That's why I was on elliptical, because there's no drama.
And then Jermaine and what's the boy band hat guy's
Malaku.
Name? What is
Malaku.
It?
Malaku.
Malaku. So Jermaine and Malaku, the whole episode, this is all they did. They're like, Larry doesn't like drama, and this is drama. Larry doesn't do drama. And it's like 5 minutes later, and it's the other one. This is drama, and Larry does not do drama. You can't get up to the velvet rope. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
You go to Larry's house, and he has blocked TNT. He does not do drama.
And then Bianca's like, well, I don't need friends. I'm golden. I don't play like that.
But the best part is that, like, Larry is, you know, he's been going around. He also is going around being like, I don't do the drama. Agu, I don't do the drama. Like, if she has to get over that, because I don't do the drama. And then she walks in while he's saying that. She, like, slams down her Tropicana bottle or whatever it is. She's like, okay. And then she walks out totally dramatically. He's like, see, it's drama. I only need one mask. I need the comedy mask. I don't need the drama.
Can you believe he said he doesn't like drama? I am not here for friends. I am vulnerable, walls down. So my favorite thing in this is, they just keep inserting all these shots. Like, it's morning, and you just see Emily sucking her thumb while she's sleeping. Yeah. Or it's afternoon and Emily just wakes up from a nap and she's stumbling around in her glasses. Like, these little tiny shots of Emily just being like, oh no.
And then in the middle of it, Emily gets like totally glammed up for no reason, and she's like, today I put on purple dress. And then she goes downstairs and then she's advising Larry about, like, oh, maybe you have to see the other side. I don't know, maybe you have to see, like, drama.
And he's like, you see, sometimes she makes sense. And she did. It was weird. I was like, who are you? She's like, yeah, you know, there's times when you have to look at both sides and say, don't do that. I was like, okay, Deepak. So Bianca has decided. She's like, today I want to go to ME. And that stands for M-E or whatever.
Yes.
And so later they're doing shots and Emily's like, where's the limes? Oh, I found it. Okay, here's to freaking amazing day. And then Agu goes, to me. And Emily goes, oh, to us, fuck that. And he's like, no, I meant the name of the restaurant. She's like, oh, okay, cheers.
So, as I've mentioned before, I went to Cabo only once on this bachelor trip last year, but we did go to me. It's M-E by Amelia, whatever it's called. Oh, my goodness. We were there for like 6 or 7 hours. And the entire time, this is what the music was. It's like never changed. Never changed. Never played a discernible song. It was just, there's this DJ booth that's like up above the pool. It was too much. At first, it was cool. It was like, oh, wow, cool pool. I mean, you saw what it looked like. It looks cool. You're like, wow, it's like something on TV. But after a while, it's just like, oh, my God, get me out of here. It got so douchey. I mean, listen, if they wanted to host us there and have, like, Watcher Crappens live from Cabo, more than happy to go to me again.
People would boo us. They'd be like, where's the unsa unsa? We came here for unsa unsa.
Unsa unsa. So then while they're there, so Larry and Bianca get into the pool because they're going to, like, maybe resolve. They're gonna have some. They're gonna.
Now
they
they're
need
friends.
Some us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're friends. They need some us time. So they're there and everything is happy. And then they're swimming around and she's basically like, so just so you know, this is a non-drama moment. But I would marry you. And, you know, I'm serious and maybe we should get married. And he's like, marriage? Last time I saw a marriage was in a drama, and I don't do drama. Drama.
Marriage is dramatic, and I don't do drama. So, yeah, so he gets all offended. He's like, wait a minute.
That's drama.
That's drama. That's drama. And then she's mad again. She's like, "You're drama." Like, now it's like another stupid fight. No one
because
understands.
They made the classic like gay guy and his like lady best friend, which is like oath, which is if we're both single by this age, we're gonna get married, right? And she's actually holding him to it. But the producers are trying to make it seem like that she actually wants to get married to him, like, and have a romantic relationship. So then he goes off with Agu, and they go down to the beach, and which, by the way, a very flattering scene for both of them. The sun's like glistening off their bodies. Very well done, producers.
Yeah, this show shot beautifully, especially yeah. The B-rolls.
Yeah. So then he's like, "So I was just swimming with Bianca in the meat pool." It's like, "Oh, there's a pool just for you?" "No, it's the pool for me." So you do have a pool. No. Anyway.
Cheers to your pool.
She like wants to get married. And Agu's like, "Really?"
And he goes, "Marriage, Larry." And he's like, "Yeah, you said marriage, right?" "Yeah." And I was like, "Marriage." I love how he says marriage. And he says it like 20 times. They marriage. Just keep cutting back to Larry. And he's like, "Marriage, elliptical machine. Marriage, elliptical."
And he has... Marriage. And he has like a little drawl. He likes to end every sentence with a sound. He'll be like, "I mean, that's crazy."
Cut to like, Jermaine. Larry does not like drama.
He doesn't like drama at me, that's for sure.
So basically, that's one of the big dramas. Then the other one is with Agu and
Kamani.
And he's like, I was thinking we could go to lunch or something because I have some things to talk about. She's like, is this going to be like serious? And he said, well, you know, just some things to talk about at lunch because we'll talk. And she's like, well, he better. Okay, I have to look for this because Kamani was cracking me up with all the things she's saying. She's like, well, he better get ready for this jelly because like she just keeps saying the like these lines from shows. She's like, I'm interested, but he knows he needs to bring it. I'm a Bentley, and Emily's a beat-up Pinto, and they don't make Pintos anymore. You feel me?
Neither of which are cars I will ever have.
No kidding. I'm like, Larry just needs a nice Kia. You know what I mean? He doesn't need either one of you. Or Agu.
Agu will just... he's just going to take whatever car Alamo has available for him.
Yeah. So they go to lunch, and Agu's like... Well, I just wanted you to know, you know, this Emily thing. That was, I was drunk, and she was the aggressor.
Yeah. And meanwhile, by the way, Kamani is like, okay, well, if we're going to lunch, I am going to wear no sides on my shirt. I'm going to have my boobs stick out, and he's going to see everything that he lost. And I was like, I don't know if this is like a great moment of empowerment or a terrible moment for feminism. I just don't know right
yeah,
now.
Exactly.
I can't tell.
She's like mad that he was overly sexual with the other girls, so she's going to show up naked.
Yeah,
she's like, I will show my daughter that a woman doesn't take this. I'm like, you're showing your daughter that you're trying to go for the hottest guy who's way younger than you in a house so you can get airtime and fucking be naked doing it. Like, yeah. I don't think your daughter needs those lessons from
and
you,
she,
okay?
And she's
lady.
Like, you know, and she was like, you know, most women, like, she does the classic, I just don't get along well with most women. Most women just hate me immediately. That's why most of my friends are guys. I'm like, maybe it's because you willingly let your tits go flying out. You know, to make a guy jealous. But then when I say that, I feel like, well, isn't that her right as a woman? I mean, why not? Why doesn't she do that? Why not, like, just make him feel bad for his mistakes? I just don't know. I am caught in my own vortex. It's like I'm swirling down the drain at the me pool.
Yeah, feminism is at a confusing time in our history.
I know, sure. Drama. By the way, I want everyone to know I was saying all that from an elliptical machine, so it was lighthearted.
Yeah, it was totally
don't
lighthearted, okay? And if you have a comment about it, do it from the elliptical so
do
we
it from
don't
the
cry.
Elliptical, yeah.
But let's keep Kamani's it light, people. Also saying things like, she's just, I like this show, and we talked about this the first episode, how it's like the real world where they're just all a bunch of dumb whores, but they don't have the excuse of being 20. They're like 40, and they're still trying to like struggle, and Kamani is just struggling like... You know, if Ray was here, he'd be like, you better get married because you're about to be a saggy wall. But she's like struggling to hold on to this last block of youth, you know? And she's saying things like, well, I hope he realizes that Kamani is the bomb.com. I was like, okay, mom. Jeez.
So
they go eat at a place called Chin's, which, you know, as people who really struggle to keep their weight down or who work hard to keep their weight down, why would they eat at a place called Chin's?
maybe he's dyslexic. Maybe he thought it was called Niche.
Misspelled. Hey, would you like to go to Snich? Agu orders from the menu and he's like, we'll start with the egg roll 4 pieces. Okay. I don't know why I found that so funny, but I laughed I laughed at it like 5 times. How he said that. Yeah. so basically he's saying he's not attracted to Emily. He goes, I'm not.
Kamani is basically just grilling him. And it's, I mean, to be fair, he is a bullshit artist when he's like, yeah, she was the aggressor. And she's like, so you were just like defenseless and helpless. Once you got into your bed, you couldn't do anything about it. Like you, there was nothing you could do. Like you couldn't like just avoid her. He's like, no, not really.
Yeah.
It's like, I was very drunk and I have a huge penis. Yeah. So it has to go somewhere.
And she's like, well, if you knocked on my door, that's my choice to say, do I wear a dress that shows my entire breast rack? Or do I get on the internet to show him that I own bomb.com URL on HostMonster? Thank you.
Yeah. So she is basically making him sweat, which is also essentially her subtle way of saying, okay, don't worry, we will sleep together, but first you have to go through this. So you know, he'll get it.
Yeah. So what else happened in this?
So then they have dinner. And Agu, by the way, makes some barbecue chicken that looks absolutely amazing. They make some good food on this show. They casually just whip up these meals, and every single time, it's like, damn, they know how to cook, these people. So they're at dinner, and Emily's like, so how was your date? And they're like, what do you want to know about it? She's like, no, I just want to know anything you want to share. And then this turns into a fight between almost everyone, because Emily and Kamani start to fight because obviously they're in like
Kamani
a weird
just hates her
low
guts.
Level love triangle.
She's just sitting there giving her these squinty, dirty eyes the whole time. And Emily's trying to be nice. And so she starts off the small talk and she goes, oh, this is the first meal I actually eat. And they're like, we've seen you eating. And she goes, yeah, but this is the first time I actually swallow.
Yeah, then they cut to Agu. It's like, she's like, you know, the nails don't count as meal.
He's like, Larry does not like drama. So then, yeah, she's like, oh, so you had dates? Or, and Agu's like, well, I guess you came up. And Jerome's like, did she come up? She did come up. And she's like, oh, so I guess I involved, so I want to know. And he goes, so now what do you want to know? And she goes, I truly apologize because I did something I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, she's holding on to that lie.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, was only like 12 hours ago. We forget with this show. It's only been like a day since they slept together.
Yeah. And then Kamani's like, well, maybe that's what we have to work on. You not remembering things. And she's like, yeah, but when you started screaming at me for something I don't really understand, that was the one person who confronted me, who comforted me, and that was a reflex.
And then she somehow starts referencing Larry, and Kamani's like, this is what you always do. You always try to bring everyone else into your issues. I'm talking to you right now. And she's like, well, so, and then somehow, I forget exactly how it happens, but, what's her face? Emily is saying, like, people have issues with you. And Kamani's like, who has an issue with me? And she's like, she goes, does Larry have an issue? No. Does Malaku? No. Does Jermaine? No. Does the Flower Vase? No. Does Bianca? Well, there, we found it, and she can come to me when she wants to. And Bianca's just sitting there, like, all angry, like, oh, yeah, that's right, I'm mad at you. She called me a little girl. She called me a cute girl.
I love that Emily's reflex when she's sad is to give somebody a hand job.
Yeah.
And then Kamani's like, well, a hoe is a hoe is a hoe, Scorpy ho.
Malaku's like, who wants dessert? So then they go in the other room. They, like, get ice cream and stuff, and that they leave Kamani and Emily behind. And Emily's like, don't you think I feel so bad about what happened? Don't you remember I have boyfriend? And they cut to this, like, really smarmy guy on a bed being like, hey, Emily, can I have a kiss, please? And
so like, oh, look at my gorgeous girlfriend, Emily. Hey, baby, why don't you give me a kiss? Oh, Emily, yeah, baby.
This blazer from Donald Trump collection. So then... He totally had his hair slicked back like Donald Trump Jr. So then Emily's like now crying. She's like, you know, what do you think how I feel about this and that, whatever. And then they sort of make up. It's like drunken, you know.
Well, this is where Kamani's like, stop yelling. And she's like, don't you think I don't feel bad? Like she's trying to talk quiet. And Kamani's just giving her this dirty look. And Emily starts crying because she's basically being slut shamed by the woman who just walked around topless all day. This show is so weird. So Emily's crying now. And Kamani goes, you don't have to be happy for everybody, but in like a mean, bitchy way. So then everybody comes in and Bianca's like, let's have cake. It's marshmallow.
Chocolate marshmallow. Eat this now.
And Emily goes, oh, so anyway, this should be therapy, Sims. You could open a clinic, boo. It's like, how is this therapy? You just got slut shamed, then shut down. It's like,
and then fed chocolate marshmallow cake.
Yeah, and she's fine now. She's like, I cried marshmallow. Oh, I'm better. So everybody's getting ready for bed later, and she has this little smiley face pillow, and she goes, do you know my man had this emoji pillow made for me? At this point, I feel so guilty to sleep with her.
I'm like, he didn't make it. He just got it from the emoji movie, like promotional department.
It's like from the gas station. He made it for me.
Oh, and so then, but I feel like, by the way, there was some moment between Larry and Bianca where he kept on saying the same thing over again, over and over again, like, we good, we good, we good. I don't remember. Did that happen? It's in my head.
Larry doesn't like drama, Ben, okay? I forgot.
So either way, the next day they decide they're going to make everyone feel better by going riding on ATVs. Now, I personally have this theory about ATVs, which is that whoever drives them gets severely injured. That's just my general theory. So when I was in Palm Springs 2 years ago and my friends were like, let's go on ATVs, I was like, I'm going to stay back because I don't want to break my neck. So sure enough, they all get onto their ATVs. And they start driving around, and it's like fun times, fun times, fun times. And some of them are like standing up. They're like, we're racing. This is good. This is anti-drama. And then sure enough, Kamani like bumps into someone else and goes flying over the handlebars, which is very scary. And then she's just like lying there like a rag doll in a heap. And it's like, paramedics, paramedics. And they come over. Everyone's crying. They put her in like one of those brace things. I actually almost felt bad for this company because they brought her into the lobby where everyone was like waiting to sign up to go on the ATVs. And they like bring this woman like essentially in pre-traction and like lay her down on the chairs. I was like, that's not good advertising.
This, you know, Bravo, this is the second season because we had Orange County where Tamara and Vicky were hurt on an ATV.
On a dune, well, they were in a dune buggy.
I mean, how about you guys try and do this with someone that I would actually care just got hurt on an ATV? Because so far you haven't.
Having to stay away from the redneck sports. How about that? You're Bravo. It's just not like leave it for like A&E or like TLC. But you're Bravo. Just stick with, you know, yachting, sailing.
Yeah.
Don't get in the dune buggies and the ATVs. It's just this is not your people.
I love that everybody makes it kind of about them too. Whenever, yes. And that's like real life too. You know, whenever something bad happens, they're like, "But she has a baby, and the baby." I'm like, "Oh, shut up! It's not about you."
Larry's like, "You know, if only we had taken an elliptical out on the ATV, then we would have been enjoying this so much more. It would have been so lighthearted when she broke her neck. So stupid. But now we have to face the full drama."
Oh my God, you guys. Well, until next week, that will get us done for the Potomac and the invite only. If you guys want more of us, go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens and find some bony balonies.
Thanks for waiting an extra day for us so that way we can enjoy our Memorial Day. We will be back later this afternoon with Southern Charm. You just keep an eye out on your little podcast feed. You should subscribe, by the way, because if you subscribe, the episodes just roll right into whatever you subscribe onto, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, any of those things. They'll just appear. So subscribe. We will have Southern Charm up later today. And then tomorrow is Below Deck.
Yep. And right, that'll do us. We'll see you in a little while, everybody. Bye.
Bye.